Welcome to our show talking about true crime. We are Olivia and
Michelle.
We are mother and daughter doing this podcast together. This is our very first episode and we hope you enjoy it. In today's episode, we will be talking about Donald Pee Wee Gaskins, the most prolific serial killer in South Carolina's history. This is episode 1. If you want to hear about his crimes, then please listen further. We will go over his crimes and his conviction and his death sentence. We hope you will be as interested in learning about him as much as we are. Who is Donald Pee Wee Gaskins and what crimes did he commit? Find out in this episode of Talking About True Crime. Due to the graphic nature of this podcast, there will be things mentioned that are triggers for some people. Proceed with caution. Not recommended for people under the age of 13. We are a laid-back type of podcast. We do our research, but we are not your Forensic Files type of podcast. We do not want you thinking we are downplaying the crime or taking it as a joke, because it's not. But when we hear or read something disturbing, we do speak our mind about it and hope that we wouldn't offend you all with something we say or do. We might laugh at what one of us says about what we are reading or discussing. I apologize if I pronounce something wrong. If you know I'm pronouncing something wrong, feel free to correct me or my mom if she pronounces something wrong. Donald Henry Gaskins Jr., also known as Pee Wee, was born March 13, 1933 in Florence County, South Carolina. Known as America's meanest man and also known as one of America's worst serial killers, he was bullied and beat by various men that his mother dated, and when she married one of them, the abuse continued. His mother did little about it. He was bullied in school, and his small stature earned him the nickname Pee-wee. At age 11, he dropped out of school and found a job working in a garage where he met two boys, and they became known as the Trouble Trio and started a mini-crime wave. They started a series of burglaries, assaults, and rapes that the three committed together. They sometimes raped little boys. Age 13, Gaskins allegedly graduated from rape to attempted murder. While robbing a home, a young girl walked in and caught him stealing. Gaskins hit her in the head with an axe and left her thinking he killed her, but she survived and identified him. He was found guilty of assault with a deadly weapon and intent to kill and was sent to reform school. Well, this guy is just... I don't know. So far, he's just... wacko.
How can he get a job at 11?
I have no clue. Like, I have no idea. But then again, there's little kids that sell newspapers and stuff, so...
Well, yeah,
But a garage?
What's... There's danger things in the garage when you fix cars and stuff like that.
Yeah, but we're talking about... He was age 11, so let's see. 1933 to 44... 45. It was 1945, so maybe things were different back then.
45?
It was 1945 when he was 11. So, yeah, things were different back then.
Yeah, 45 there was. Yeah. But I don't know what the difference is between now and then.
I don't know. On June 18th, 1946, where he was expected to remain until 18. Shortly after, he was found guilty of assault with a deadly weapon and intent to kill and was sent to reform school. On June 18, 1946, where he was expected to remain until 18. Shortly after he was sent to reform school, he was gang-raped by 20 boys. He agreed to have sex with the dorm's boss boy in exchange for protection. Pee-wee repeatedly tried to escape the reform school. He was successful one time.
Yeah, so how can he get sexually assaulted and then being sexually assaulted to get protection?
How
can he be assaulted and then have sex to have...
I don't know.
That is confusing.
Yeah, that makes no sense. Like, to me, I consider that rape still because of the fact, you know, if you're exchanging sex for protection, that's basically like you're still being raped.
Yeah. Okay. What?
When he escaped, he married a 13-year-old girl, but decided to return to reform school to finish his sentence. When he was released, he first found work at a tobacco farm where he came up with a scheme to steal crop and sell it on the side, as well as burning down the barns of others for payments so they could collect insurance. A teenage girl mocked him. He split her skull open with a hammer. He was sent to the South Carolina State Penitentiary. He was reportedly sexually enslaved by a gang leader, but Pee-wee put an end to this when he slit a feared inmate's throat, earning everyone's respect.
How can you respect somebody for slashing their throat?
Fear.
Oh, I wasn't thinking about that.
Yeah. He was convicted of manslaughter and spent 6 months in solitary confinement. In 1955, his wife filed for divorce. Gaskins escaped from prison. He remarried, but it only lasted 2 weeks. He got involved with Betty Gates. They went to bail Gates' brother out. When he arrived at the hotel they decided to go to, he was in for a surprise. He found out Gates' brother was actually her husband. When police arrived at the hotel, they realized Gates was an escaped convict and sent him back to prison for 9 months for aiding a prisoner escape. In August of 69, he was released from prison and returned to South Carolina. He was unable to stay out of trouble and began burglarizing homes again. To avoid arrest, he was working for a traveling preacher, and he used the traveling minister to burglarize homes to make his crimes harder to trace. In 1962, Gaskins was arrested for statutory rape of a 12-year-old. He got away in a stolen car and went to North Carolina. Throughout his life, he described feelings that forced him into criminal activity. He referred to them as aggravated and bothersome feelings. In 1969, he found relief for these feelings. Gaskins picked up a female in North Carolina and became angry when she laughed when he propositioned her. He beat her till she was knocked out, then he raped, sodomized, and tortured her, and then drowned her in a swamp by weighing her down. His thinking of rape, torture, and murder was a vision into those bothersome feelings he experienced his whole life. Satisfying these feelings was the driving force in his life. Mastering the skill of torture, keeping his injured victims alive for days, he would sometimes cannibalize their severed body parts and make his victims watch him eat them, or having them join him on eating themselves. Killing acquaintances...
Gross.
I know, right? Like, that's sick.
That's really sick.
That makes me just...
I'd be sick, puking.
Yeah, sick to my stomach. Killing acquaintances were more serious murders. He was close to one victim, his 15-year-old niece, and lured his niece and her friend, took them to an abandoned house where he attempted to rape them. But when that failed, he beat them both to death. Some people liked him, but others thought he was mentally disturbed. He made a few friends. One of them was a woman named Doreen Dempsey. She was pregnant and a mother of a 2-year-old baby girl. She decided to leave town, and she asked Gaskins for a ride, and he asked for sex, and she accepted. He then asked to do the same to the 2-year-old girl, and when she refused, he took her to the woods and raped and killed her, then raped, sodomized, and killed the 2-year-old. He buried them together. He stated the sex with the 2-year-old girl was the best sex of his life.
Sex.
Okay.
Okay, that...
This man is just...
He needed to go in a mental ward.
Or something, I don't freaking know, but that's just fucking ridiculous. Like, he allegedly committed several more murders, and even another guy by the name of Rudolph Tyner, who Tony Simo wanted killed to get vengeance for murdering his parents. When poison didn't work, he used a cup device that would explode when Gaskins detonated it. After Tyner pulled the string, he claimed over 100 people he killed, but that wasn't corroborated. Gaskin is tried for 8 murders on May 24, 1976, and 4 days later found guilty and was sentenced to death. He killed Tyner after that and was sentenced to death again. On death row, he spends 15 months confessing his killings to a journalist, and it formed the autobiography Final Truth, in which he says he has a special mind that gives him permission to kill. He didn't express remorse for his actions. He stated he didn't mind dying and that he lived a damn full and good life. He also stated, "I'm not asking forgiveness. I got no apologies to make for my life. I always had my reasons for everything I ever done." Okay, what a weird and twisted individual.
Like, and he's not even going to say anything to the people he hurt?
Nope.
To their families or anything?
Nope.
He has no apologies?
He found out that killing others proves to himself, if not anyone else, that he is dictating his own destiny. He stated, "I have walked the same path as God by taking lives and making others afraid. I became God's equal through killing others. I became my own master through my power. I come to my own redemption." A few hours before his execution, he tried to delay it by cutting his wrist. The plan failed, and on September 6, 1991, he was placed in an electric chair to die.
Okay, so he keeps going to prison,
mm-hmm.
and they're not keeping him in there. Why aren't they keeping him in there for the certain... I mean, the first crime should have kept him in there.
Mm-hmm.
Indefinitely.
Yeah.
You know, he shouldn't have been out. I just don't understand how he can keep getting out, even though he keeps killing.
Mm-hmm.
And none of the cops, I guess, are connecting it?
I guess not.
You know, so he keeps murdering, and the cops are oblivious to what he's doing. The cops are not corroborating their stories of what he did in certain places.
Yeah.
To where they can get him and keep him in.
Yeah.
So I don't understand what the problem is of why they couldn't connect all the crimes he's done to keep him in.
I don't know, man.
And then they did.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm not sure. There's something's wrong. Somebody didn't do their job, or they weren't explaining to each other of what crimes is in their county. So he's going around from county to county doing this, and because of doing that, it's making it to where they can't track him because he keeps going from county to county. I just don't understand how he can go from county to county, state to state, and then the cops not contacting each other to try to get him for all these crimes he made.
Yeah.
You know, and in meanwhile, he's being released, and he keeps doing it and keeps doing it. The police can't track him because of the fact of he's jumping from county to county.
Yeah. You like, know? I don't understand. The first mess up was when he was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, he should have been locked up and kept locked up then. After the first time that he struck a girl, like when he was robbing, when he was robbing the house, the girl walked in on him and he hit her in the head with an axe. He thought he killed her and she didn't die, so they sent him to reform school.
Reform school?
He should have been.
It's not a punishment.
Yeah, he should have either been put into a mental ward or put in jail then. One of the two.
And in the process of that, give him a psychiatric evaluation.
Yeah, because when he was a kid, those boys, were sitting there raping kids and this and that. And that's not normal. Like, there's something wrong with you if you're out doing that kind of crap.
And they should have given him a mental hygiene then and there.
Yeah, exactly. So,
you know, and then from that, they probably would have figured out that he's got a messed up brain or messed up thinking, one of the two, and they would have kept him in there.
Yeah.
But instead, they keep releasing him, which in turn, he keeps repeating the crimes.
But yeah, this whole shit could have been avoided if, you know,
if they would have took action on the first time.
Exactly.
He did something.
Yeah. This is just ridiculous and stupid that all these people had to fucking die because he was sitting there murdering people, like, mm-hmm. and doing what the hell he did to them.
And then him jumping from state to state made it hard to...
He didn't jump state to state.
Well, county to county.
Okay, well, actually it was state to state.
Yeah.
South Carolina and North Carolina.
Yeah,
okay.
But in between, there's counties.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not sure between South Carolina and North Carolina how many he's done that without saying anything to anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
So, it's just, back then, I don't think they really knew much about mental health people.
I don't think they did either.
And I think that's because of the lack of that, they didn't give him
the help he needed?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably not. So, is there anything you want to add to that?
I just don't see how somebody can keep doing that. And the police not calling each other up and saying, hey, we got this person here, what he do in your county or in your state, either or. You know, the police need to talk to each other to try to pin this guy down.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, when they keep releasing him, that doesn't help either. Because when they release him, he does more crimes. So then he gets away with it because the fact the police don't know exactly what he's done.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it's too late, well, not really too late, but finally they catch him after how many people?
He says over 100, but it's never been corroborated. So he's only been tried for 8. and was found guilty on all 8, so...
Okay. Well, they should have had him in there way before then.
Yeah.
Because those 8 lives could have been spared.
Yeah, or the 100 if it is...
And if it is the 100, yeah.
Over 100, yeah. Well, any of those deaths.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Any of the trauma, before any of the trauma. The first trauma that happened to the first kid, that should have been when he first went into a nut ward or into jail. One of the two.
Tacked on with the mental hygiene.
Yeah, and he should have been kept in there. That's just what I think.
Well, the things he says, the things he's done, just tells me he proved it, that he didn't think he had to pay for his sins.
Yeah.
And when he sits there and says that he's acting like God because of the fact he can take away life,
mm-hmm.
What was his line of thinking of saying that? He's not God. There's only one God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. And then the whole fact of, yeah, maybe Rudolph Tyner may have sat there and killed 2 people. But the thing is that he should not have been murdered by Gaskins. So he should have been protected in that instead of being killed by Gaskins. So, yeah. You know,
there's no
protection in prisons.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I do think that bad prisoners that do bad things, I mean, killing is bad, but I'm talking more like the kind of people who rape kids and stuff like that, they deserve whatever's coming to them. Or whatever, you know? But the other people who don't do as bad things don't deserve that at all. So
they don't really think about that. You're in prison. That's it.
You're
going to get it.
Well, okay, but that's not right. Like,
well, I'm not denying that.
It's just fucked up that how things are. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, not everybody deserves to have that kind of treatment, mm-hmm. you know?
And then running the prison, you know, some of them run the prison.
Yeah, exactly.
How can you run a prison when you're in prison?
I have no idea. Maybe it's because of the people or the prisoners who are higher up than them. I don't know how that works. Yeah, that too.
Fear because they know exactly where
you're
at. Yeah,
that may be too. So, yeah.
I don't know. I think something should have been done the first time he did something wrong.
Yeah.
And they didn't do it. So, to me, they didn't really do the job of getting them in there and keeping them in there. Because these people all could have been spared.
Yeah, exactly.
So I just don't think it's when they let people like that run around like that for a period of time. To me, it's like them people could have been saved.
Yeah, causing more damage than there should be.
Yeah, you know, and the way he's thinking, I don't like the way he thinks.
Neither do I.
You know, he thinks he's Mr.
Big and
badass.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's no, and you're not God.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you're not God. You're never going to be God.
Yeah.
You know, and you thinking that you're God is no. You know, I'm against that.
Yeah, he was wrong for that too. So,
but at least after what? How long they finally convicted him.
Yeah.
And got him in jail.
Uh-huh.
And then he tried to slit his wrist to probably prolong the death of him.
Or make them find him mentally incompetent. So
yeah.
That way he wouldn't be murdered. Because I remember a Law & Order SVU episode. It's one of my favorites. But I don't remember the guy's name. But he's bald-headed. He's in another episode. But that's not the point. Anyways, is that he sat there and right before his execution, he did an interview with Wong and Stabler. He sat there towards the end, close to his conviction. I think Wong was sitting there saying things to piss him off. So he got up and started banging Wong's head off the wall. And Elliot jumped on him. They started fighting back and forth. Then the officers come in. And Elliot says, no, that's what he wants. Don't do that. And then towards the end of the episode, you find out that since he did what he did it on purpose so that way he could get out of getting an execution. Because you cannot execute a mentally insane man or something like that. I forgot how it was worded.
Yeah, I forgot what it was worded.
So, like, yeah, that's how that shit
goes. I think
that's
what he was trying to do, to be honest with you.
Yeah, so that's probably what Gaskins was doing as well.
Yeah. But it didn't work because they still put him in the electric chair with the sliced wrists.
Yeah. After they bandaged him up, mm-hmm. they put him in the electric chair and executed him.
Yep.
So,
Well, at least he can't do no more crimes.
Yeah, exactly. And I think he would be dead by now anyways, even if they had let him live, because, I mean, he was already older when he was in jail, so...
Yeah.
Like, towards the end of his life. I forgot how old they said he was when he was killed, so... is there anything else you want to add to that?
I'm just flabbergasted, that's all.
Yeah, and disgusted as well. I mean, being a cannibal, that's another thing I have a problem with.
No.
And then making your victims sit there and freaking eat themselves. It's one thing for you to do it yourself, but it's a whole nother to make your victims eat themselves. That's puke-worthy shit right there. Like, gross.
Yeah, or in the smell.
Yeah, the smell.
I bet you there was a smell. I don't think I can be, no.
Yeah.
I don't understand why people do cannibal stuff.
I really don't understand it.
And all I know, it's just the grossest thing to do to a human, because humans are not meant to be
eaten
on.
Yeah, that's just disgusting.
And yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Gross. Now I'm getting twisted stomach. Oh, just sitting here talking about it. Ooh, yuck,
yeah.
Yuck, gross.
Are you done?
Yeah.
All right, everyone. If you want to read an extended version of his court trial, I will provide a link in the description of this episode to that website, and you guys can read there if you'd like. What do you guys feel about what we read in this episode today? Like, what do you think about Pee-wee's crimes and all that?
His court hearings.
Yeah, that wasn't really covered.
Well, okay, the court hearing.
If you read the article about the court hearing, tell us what you think about it. Let us know what you think about his crimes and everything. So, yeah, you can let us know in our email, talkingabouttruecrime3051@gmail.com. This has been your host, Olivia, and
co-host, Michelle,
on our podcast, Talking About True Crime. What we covered in this episode is the life and crimes of Donald Pee-wee Gaskins and him being in and out of prison throughout his life, his troubled beginning, killing, raping, and sodomizing victims, and robbing people as well, terrifying the community of Florence County, South Carolina, and people of North Carolina, and his capture and death. We do not have a webpage yet for our podcast for you to go to, but we hope to have one soon. Please spread the word to your family and friends if you like what we do here, and if they would like the things we discuss or talk about. If you all hear anything we need to work on, then please email us at the email that I said earlier. We are open to suggestions on how to improve, or if you have ideas or episodes that we can cover, you know, we have no problem doing that. In the next episode, we will be covering Robert Hansen, so we will see what kind of crimes he committed, and hope you will be here to hear it. If you are hearing this message, you've listened to an entire episode, and we really want to thank you from the bottom of our heart. We hope you've enjoyed this new episode of Talking About True Crime. If you did, please leave us a review on Spotify, as it will help us get noticed. If you want to hear more about true crime from us, then please follow us.
Thank you!